Faster My, this is Update on Manx Radio. Good evening. It's 5:30 for Wednesday, 24th of June, 2020. A 30-minute look at the latest news, plus background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, day 35 of no new confirmed cases of C-19. There'll be return flights to Guernsey from next month. Isle of Man Bank won't be opening Peel and Port Erin branches. Hear of the new Manx Children's Champions unique qualifications. It's back to church, well, some of them this Sunday, and the Stu Peters verdict has been delivered. For the update news headlines, Faster My, Ed Oldham.
Faster My, there have been no new island COVID-19 cases for 35 consecutive days now. The figures have been updated by government this afternoon. The total number of confirmed cases therefore remains at 336. 23 people are awaiting results and just 2 people are waiting for a test. Return flights to Guernsey look to go ahead next month, according to an airline CEO. Mark Darby, the head of Orini, says that he's confident the route will start up for the summer. The island's new children's champion has opened up about becoming homeless as a teenager. Rob Collister, MHK, has taken on the role after the previous champion, Tim Baker, was made infrastructure minister. The aim of the position is to act in the interests of vulnerable young people in the Isle of Man. Further afield, pub beer gardens and then indoor bars and restaurants are going to be allowed to open in Scotland next month. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's also announced that people from 3 households will be allowed to meet indoors and get their hair cut at a salon. Meanwhile, advice given to businesses in England says shops should play only quiet music and there should be no magazines in hairdressers. It also urges them to encourage customers to place orders using apps wherever possible. And the Met Office has issued a heatwave health alert on the hottest day of the year so far. Heathrow Airport's seen the highest temperature, 32.6 Celsius, but experts say older people and very young children should take care. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Manx Radio. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Ed. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea Weather indicates no problems, no warnings out at sea for the Isle of Man. Dry and clear this evening and through the night, down to 16 degrees overnight. Thursday, Jerdain, dry and sunny with a daytime maximum 26, dry and clear with light breezes after dark. The overnight minimum 16 degrees. And Friday, sunny intervals at first, then thundery showers developing as the day progresses, 19 degrees, top temperature, Jehenya. Low water, 19 minutes to 9, sunset, 4 minutes to 10. The overnight high tide, 27 minutes before 3 a.m. Sunrise is at 14 minutes to 5 a.m. Low water at 4 minutes past 9 tomorrow morning.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online, manxglass.com.
27 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio. A Manx Radio presenter accused of using racist terms and inappropriate language on air did not breach the programme code, according to the island's broadcasting watchdog. It follows comments made by Stu Peters earlier this month on The Late Show. Following complaints, Stu Peters was suspended by Manx Radio while the issue was referred to the Communications Commission with all the details. Ewan Gawn.
Faster Meyer, the outcome of this investigation was published today. It found that Manx Radio had not breached the broadcasting programme code. The regulator says whilst issues surrounding race can be an emotive matter, the debate in question was conducted in a fair and measured way and for the most part in a calm and open manner. It received 13 complaints about comments made during the programme and 27 comments from those supportive of the broadcast. The commission, which has no disciplinary role in this matter, says some of the comments on the show could be viewed as insensitive but should be viewed in context. Responding to the decision, Manx Radio's managing director Chris Sully says station bosses need time to work through the entire report to see what we can learn. He goes on to add, Manx Radio sees this as the starting point on a journey of open discussion on the subject rather than the end of the road.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Return flights to Guernsey look to go ahead next month, according to an airline chief executive. Mark Darby, head of Aurigny, says he's confident the route will start for the summer. He was speaking on BBC Radio Guernsey this morning about why the relationship between the islands is mutually beneficial.
Really, there are very few islands that fall into, or jurisdictions that fall into the same sort of bracket as Guernsey does today. The only one that's reasonably accessible is the Isle of Man, and that's why there's been some debate about that. We're very happy to go there. We're working on plans to put together a service. It'll probably be a couple of times a week for the rest of the summer, something like that. And that will help the hoteliers and the guest house owners, because I'm sure there's a demand for people in the Isle of Man to go somewhere that's different, as there is for here. So we're expecting two-way traffic. We think it'd be attractive to sporting clubs from Guernsey, people wanting to come and play different golf courses, all that sort of stuff. So we think there will be reasonable demand, and we'll just match it. We've got really unlimited availability of aircraft and crew if the demand is there. But small steps. We'll put in probably a couple of services a week, probably from sort of late July, and once we fix that, we'll be talking to public health, making sure that their opposites in the Isle of Man are happy, making sure the governments are happy. But we think it could be a beginnings of something quite interesting, actually, between Guernsey and the Isle of Man.
You sound pretty convinced it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I am.
Late July. And when will we have an idea of the costs making this hot?
Well, what will make it attractive, and we're already working with the local authorities here and the airport, if we can get some help in terms of landing fees, passenger charges, all of those sorts of things. If we can get the Isle of Man to waive them, we could get Guernsey to help us out, then we'll be doing it at a very reasonable price. We want to make it work, and we want to give people at least an opportunity to go and do something different.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
23 minutes to 6 on update. There's frustration in the south and west of the Isle of Man after the Isle of Man Bank announced it won't be reopening the branches in Peel and Port Erin. It follows increasing criticism of the bank's response to returning to normality after lockdown. The details from Lewis Foster.
The two Peel and Glenfaber MHKs, Ray Harmer and Geoffrey Boot, both criticised the continued closure of the Peel and Port Erin branches and called for a return to normal service. Meanwhile, the bank on Regent Street will reopen next week, whilst Athol Street, Ramsey and Castletown opening hours will be extended. A spokesperson says it doesn't have the resources to open all branches right now, as staff have been redeployed during the crisis to deal with requests for overdrafts, loans and capital repayments. It did, however, signal an end to social distancing measures from today, which had resulted in large queues forming outside facilities which were open. Little consolation, perhaps, to some Manx residents who let their frustrations be known on social media.
This is disgusting. No thought at all for their customers. There is a lot of businesses in the west and south of the island that rely on the banks, as well as personal customers.
Why can't they open? If people knew a proper reason, it would be easier to take.
Avoided the bank like the plague yesterday. No way I was standing in the queue. It went all down Athol Street.
Isle of Man Bank has apologised for the continued closures and says reopenings are under constant review.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next scheduled departure, tomorrow morning's 10 o'clock, Mananan from Douglas to Heysham, arriving there about 12:15 and heading back to the island at 2:15, arriving on the island tomorrow evening at 4:30. Of course, the steam packet's Fastcraft Mananan is the only passenger service at the moment operating daytime sailings to Heysham. Our nighttime freight service operated by the motor ship Ben McCree.
Follow the steam packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The Isle of Man's new children's champion has been sharing his own experience of becoming homeless as a teenager. Onchan MHK Rob Callister has taken over the role from Tim Baker, who is now the new infrastructure minister, and Rob Callister says he's well placed to understand the needs of vulnerable young people. He was on the Manon line this lunchtime on Manx Radio.
I would never have believed when I was, I was homeless at the age of 17, that suddenly 33 years later, I'm representing this island in, the best place ever, and that's in Tymwell Court.
Where did you stay when you were homeless?
I just slept rough, it's surprising that I forgot all those memories. Until 18 months ago, but I ended up
shelters, hedge bottoms.
I just found a couple of properties that were open, and I just slept on the floor in there. And I remember vividly now that actually how I got found was I was asleep in a phone box, and it's now where the town hall was. And the police picked me up, took me to my father, who lives in Balaf, who I knew but didn't have a really close relationship. But then we've become friends, and he's quite funny because he rings me up just to moan at me as an MHK, and I keep telling him to ring his own MHKs, but he likes to ring me and just have a moan down the phone. But I have a great relationship with both my parents. They've been very good role models in my life. But as you say, I still have those dark memories from when I was 17.
And sometimes a young person can be in that dark tunnel of despair and won't know the way out. And at a young age, things can get an awful lot darker.
I think it's slightly different these days because of social media. And when I was 17, I was asked to leave a property. And it was, it was my fault. I'm not putting blame on anybody else. It was my fault. I was asked to leave the property. I didn't quite fit in. Somebody came out of care. I was staying in a property where all the residents were older than me. I just didn't fit in. I was asked to leave. I couldn't have contacted my social worker. So what was the option left for me to do? And the option was, it wasn't until I walked out of the property and I started walking around that I realized I had no money. I had no money to make phone calls, etc. So the only option was to walk around the streets of Ramsey until eventually I was picked up middle of the night by the police in Ramsey.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
It's 18 minutes before 6 o'clock. Meat processing plants across the world have seen new outbreaks of COVID-19, and scientists have outlined what makes the sector susceptible. Apparently, colder indoor conditions create perfect environments for the virus to spread, and the heavy lifting and the need to shout over noisy machinery could cause people to expel more droplets of the virus and exacerbate the spread. In Germany, where an outbreak of one factory infected over 1,500 workers, the government plans to reform the sector on safety grounds. Segway is going. The production of the two-wheeler, which was popular with city tour guides, some police forces, but not the public. When production will end next month, launched in 2001, the much-hyped self-balancing vehicle, the Segway Personal Transporter, promised to revolutionise personal transport. It was invented by Dean Kamen. The Segway debuted to much fanfare, but struggled to make a profit. Notable accidents didn't help with popularity, and the company was bought by the Chinese rival Ninebot in 2015. Production at the factory in New Hampshire ends on the 15th of July.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed sharply lower as the surge in coronavirus cases around the world spooked investors. The dollar gained as a rise in C-19 cases in America weighed on optimism. Oil prices fell as record high inventories and worries about a second wave of the pandemic outweighed support. Gold surged as rising C-19 cases globally dented hopes of a rapid economic recovery. In corporate news, Persimmon was in the red after saying it had recruited National Express chief exec Dean Finch as its next CEO to replace David Jenkinson. Going the other way, precious metals miner Polymetals shone as gold prices rallied, and Aviva was in the black after being resumed at buy by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. The numbers at 5 o'clock in London. The FTSE 100 was down 3% at 6,123. In Frankfurt, the DAX down 3.25% at 12,119. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 2.5%. 25,523. The tech stocks index, NASDAQ, down 2% at 9,933. And the S&P 500 in Chicago down 2.3% at 3,058. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 24.2 cents and €1 10.2 cents. And in commodities, gold down a fraction at $1,765 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 6% at $39.84.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again.
Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening, it's 5:45. I'm Andy Wint and this is Update on Manx Radio. Private landlords on the island can find themselves forced to sign up to a register with consultation launched by the government on new housing legislation. A similar attempt to move legislation to tackle bad practice in the sector fell down in 2015 after it was criticised for being weighted in favour of tenants. The details from Ewan Gorn.
It was Douglas MHK Chris Robertshaw who introduced a bill to regulate private housing in 2013, outlining a minimum standard and the requirement for landlords to join a register. But ultimately, the bill didn't find favour in Keys. Mr Robertshaw told me why.
There was very significant pressure at the time from certain landlords, there are many good landlords, certain landlords who were uncomfortable, and I don't want to cast aspersions, but there were also a number of members at the time who were also landlords. And I think the whole thing came under intense and to some extent undue pressure, and ultimately it fell down. I'm obviously very pleased indeed to see it coming back now, way past time. Even at the time we were trying to bring the Landlord and Tenant Bill through then, in what did we say, 2013, we were one of the last jurisdictions of our type to go for it. So we're now way behind and we really must get one in.
Stephen Moore was part of the Landlords Association which objected to the bill. He explains the issues felt by him and his counterparts.
There was a lot of responsibilities being placed on the landlords and there was no responsibilities being placed upon the tenants. And that also fits neatly into this latest consultation because we feel like we're in deja vu in as much as we had a big consultation at that time and the landlords committee virtually went into stasis because Mr. Robertshaw's bill went to a committee in the end and the committee came up with a number of recommendations which was felt by the landlords that those recommendations would be something that could be worked into a meaningful landlord-tenant bill. Now, unfortunately, with this latest consultation, once again, the responsibilities of the tenant seems to have been dropped. And also one of the recommendations out of that bill was that private and public landlords would be treated the same. Now, unfortunately, in this bill, it seems to be targeted once again at the private landlords.
The consultation on the DOI's latest registration bill is available to complete online, with the deadline for submissions being the 27th of July.
Manx Radio Sport.
12 minutes to 6. Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai, Sporting Club Isle of Man has become the first sporting organisation on the island to have been awarded UNESCO Biosphere Community Partner status. The club has been set up with the aim of getting Manx teams to compete off-island. So far, cycling and football ones have been established. SC Isle of Man says its new status will help it to promote the overarching work being done by many in the island. SC Isle of Man's partnership director, Ty Smith, says the club's strong stance on environmentally responsible practices is non-negotiable. He's highlighted the likes of its partnership with Hope and Glory Sportswear and moving to an all-digital ticketing system as examples of this. Further afield, Liverpool look to move a step closer to the Premier League title by beating Crystal Palace this evening. Manchester United take on Sheffield United at Old Trafford in a clash of contenders for European football. And at the other end of the table, struggling Aston Villa go to Newcastle, while Bournemouth are at Wolves. Bottom side Norwich face Everton. David Luiz has agreed a new one-year contract with Arsenal. The Premier League club have also signed Pablo Mari and Cedric Suarez to permanent deals. Midfielder Danny Ceballos has had his loan extended from Real Madrid until the end of the season. And Leicester have made two signings from Australia ahead of the next Rugby Union Premiership season. International lock Blake Enova joins from Super Rugby side Brumbies, while England-born back Harry Potter arrives from Melbourne Royals. Leicester were 11th in the Premiership table when the season was suspended in March because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
The departures from Ronald's Way, the 4:30 to London City, went 10 minutes late, and the 4:50 to Liverpool was 5 minutes early in departing. Inbound tonight, the 6:40 p.m. from Liverpool, 8 o'clock from London City. On the roads, the main road outside the Doon School, there are two-way traffic signals 24 hours a day for drainage work. Emergency closure for the Gary Road in Lazare between the A3 Lazare Road and Gary 4. There's a collapsed culvert. Watch out there. Apple Park in Port Arran's closed between Drodfell Road and Drodfell Park, replacing the gas main. And two-way traffic lights 24 hours a day at King Edward Road by Groudle for the railway works. Ballycrane traffic lights, well, take a picnic. Four-way temporary signals in place of the existing lights. They're replacing cables. Lock Harris Central and Queen's Promenades, Interruption City till the 14th of December. One-way northbound and associated waiting and turning restrictions. All the information at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. And it's a nice night tonight to take a look at Manx Radio's page of 18 webcams across the Isle of Man via the community tab at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
The Isle of Man Cycling Association's calling on the government to tackle speed on Manx roads. The group has penned a letter to politicians asking them to introduce a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit in towns and villages and a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit on narrow rural roads. It's after accident numbers fell dramatically with speed limits restricted during the pandemic. From Isle of Man Cycling, Rob Holden.
We don't fare too well statistically compared to the UK. But generally, some of the discussions that were had around de-restricted speed that have cropped up again now we've had emergency powers that have enforced an all-island speed limit, as it was, to protect the NHS during COVID, it's re-emphasised and put focus on that again. And some of the discussions I saw one of the politicians say was that road harm didn't actually crop up with his constituents, which resonated with me, really, because when you think about it, it more than likely, if you drive a car, it doesn't, and most of our journeys are less than 2 or 3 miles. So generally, you're not going to encounter road harm. But overall, if you're going to come to any harm under the age of 40, it's more than likely going to come through a road traffic collision. But not just road harm, but if we talk specifically about speed, what it also has the impact to do is influence other decisions. So if we look at asking people to walk and cycle more, it can possibly influence someone's decision whether they do or don't do that. So that's particularly what we're focusing on with the open letter to Tim Orr.
Do you think there is a lot of public support for this?
The difficulty with the conversation is we sometimes end up with defining people by groups, you know, whether you're a cyclist, whether you're a driver. But what you generally find is that most people who cycle drive. What I'd really like to focus on what the letter was about was the policy statement that the government made in terms of protecting vulnerable road users, which is particularly pertinent at the moment when we've got strategies in place that are asking, you know, governments are asking us to be more active, also in relation to climate, use our cars less, so therefore maybe walk or use bikes as transport for many of our shorter journeys. So it's kind of pertinent to that. So when you start joining the dots up of highlighted in the letter is that lots and lots of surveys with people who wouldn't ordinarily ride a bike for transport is the most common theme is fear of speed and volume of traffic. So if we can calm our streets sufficiently, you know, you don't necessarily need bike lanes or segregation, you just need calmer streets.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Preventing homelessness on the Isle of Man should be a matter of political priority, according to an island charity. Following an independent review into an adult safeguarding case, GRI has welcomed the call for a homelessness bill to protect the island's most vulnerable. The report published last month was prompted by the death of a former public housing tenant, Mr. H. Local Democracy reporter Aaron Ibanez spoke to Michael Manning of GRI.
What was really key for us was the fact that it recommended legislation concerning homelessness. I mean, GRI has been in existence for well over a decade. We've got roots that go back further than that. And, you know, we've said in the past, we want to see good work happen. And initially, in our earlier days, we thought maybe that would happen without legislation, but it's becoming increasingly apparent that we need a statutory framework that gives priority priority to some of the most vulnerable on our island. And so from our point of view, I think putting homelessness as a priority in terms of legislation, putting a bill in place that looks at all areas of homelessness on the island and how they can best be addressed would be a phenomenal difference. And it would also offer a really important symbolic priority given to some of the most vulnerable people, I think, in our society. Legislation is not a be-all and end-all. It's not a panacea. Good work still needs to happen and can happen without legislation. But it's an important symbol about what we value, what we think is worth spending our time and our effort and our legislative time and effort for.
This report was prompted by the eviction and the subsequent death of Mr. H. Now, with this in mind, now this has been published and with obviously what's been recommended, will his story be in vain, do you think? Or will this create lasting change?
Well, I think only time will tell. And in many senses, that's up to those with the power and the influence politically, I think, more than anything else to discern whether things will truly change. I mean, we hear lots of encouraging words and encouraging words and debate and reports are all fantastic. And we really welcome this commission of inquiry and everything. But it's action that's needed. And it's whether the political will is there. I certainly hope that it is. But that'll be the thing that makes lasting change. And certainly Mr. H would have been very keen that his story was both heard and acted upon to make sure that similar situations didn't happen to other vulnerable people.
For details of all the stories you've heard this evening and more Manx news, interviews, podcasts and the largest store of Manx radio videos plus MTTV, Culture Van and the Manx National Heritage, go to manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Updates available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. The details again at manxradio.com. Update is compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn, I'm Andy Wint. Update is back Thursday evening at 5:30. Stick around. Greatest Hits with Chris Pearson and the coronavirus update at 7. Have a great Wednesday evening.
WINT.